In preparation for Jason's lesson this morning, if you'd like to follow along with me, the New American Standard Bible, I'll be reading from the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead, at that as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each one of the sons of Joseph, and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel, and gave orders concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, that they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeking him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient, after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not receive back their dead dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect.
Amen. Amen. Good Sunday morning.
Good morning.
Good to be here with the Hickman Road brethren. I've been looking forward to this meeting for some time. I'd like to thank Marion for your psalm reading this morning, and Carlos and Ron for your prayers. And Mark, I sure appreciate you reading that lengthy passage of scripture for us from Hebrews chapter 11. A couple of scriptures come to mind as I stand here with you all this morning. I think of Psalm 118 and verse 24. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I hope that that is your attitude this morning, an attitude of joy and thankfulness. And I also think of Psalm 122 and verse 1, where I believe it was David who said, I was glad when they said, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Is that your attitude on Sunday morning? Are you excited about joining with your brothers and sisters for worship and to praise God? Brothers and sisters, we serve an awesome, almighty, and wonderful God, and it is just truly an exciting thing for us to come together and to worship Him, and I hope that that is your attitude here this morning. That was a wonderful passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 11. That is quite lengthy, I know. Is it about 40 verses, it looks like? 40 verses? Scripture unfolds into our lesson this morning, which will be in Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 through 3. I would like to mention, though, it has probably been about 14 years, give or take. I believe it was in 2001 that I last spoke here. That's a long time, isn't it? There are some of you who weren't even born yet in 2001. And I want to thank the elders here and thank all of you as a congregation for inviting me to come and visit with you. And as I think about the Hickman Road Church of Christ, several thoughts come to mind. I think of years ago, I think of Daryl and I think of Danny and their encouragement for myself and my family and I to go to Bear Valley. My family was rather small then. We just had one little boy. And he is now 18. How does that happen? Just like that. And now we're blessed with four kids, three including our three plus our oldest Elijah. So we have four. But it was about 16, 17 years ago that we came back from Bear Valley, and we attended there for 2 years, and we came back, and we. After being here back in Iowa and Atlantic for about a year, we were invited to come to, I believe it was a gospel meeting here that Dan Wright organized. And it was one where all of the Bear Valley graduates of the area would come and speak. And I don't know if any of you remember that, but at that time there were several of us from Bear Valley that were here in Iowa. And that was an exciting thing for me, as I am from Iowa, and at the time we were encouraging our classmates and friends to come to Iowa and work. And God heard our prayers, and we had several. There was myself and a partner in Atlantic at the time. His name was Steve Sprouse. Steve Sprouse was from Colorado, and he worked with us in Atlantic and then went back to Colorado with his family. Also, you may remember Bo Collins, who was at Evergreen, And we had Robert Clay, and I got thinking, Indianapolis, I think he was in Knoxville for a few years. And we had, of course, Dan, as a Bowdoin graduate. And Hal James, he came and spoke. And we also had the Dolans, there was Arlen and Adam. So we had quite a Bowdoin presence here, and that was wonderful. And I'm glad to be back here with you again this morning. Now that passage of scripture that was read for us from Hebrews and chapter 11 is very exciting to me as I think about what it unfolds into, and that's what we will look at here this morning. The Amazing Race is the title of our lesson from Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 through 3. The Amazing Race. And I'd like to read this scripture for you. The writer of Hebrews said, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of the faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That's Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 through 3. Now, as I think of us here in Iowa, as I think of the Hickman Road Church, and I think of all of our good brethren here in Iowa, and the message that I'd like to share this morning, it is here from Hebrews chapter 12. We need to run the race and not go weary, and we need to press to the prize, as Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, because we have a wonderful and amazing quest that we are on, and this morning we're going to call it the Amazing Race. When we were looking in Hebrews chapter 11, and as Mark read for us, we have several names that came up. Now, I counted those names at one time. Do we have 2, 4, 6, 8? Do we have 16 names? Does that look right? And you'll notice the second name on the list, Cain. His name is included, but of course we remember the story of Cain. But as we look at all of these names, and as we will look in more detail in a little bit, these are people of faith who God uses as an example for us to be encouraged by. As we look at the passages of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, there are several things that I would like for us to take a look at. But this passage of Scripture first came to mind for me as I wanted to share it with you about a week ago. I was thinking about this lesson, and actually, I had an aha moment. Do you ever have those? Where you have a realization. Something comes to mind, and things kind of come together. You have an aha moment. Well, I had, this may seem kind of silly, I had a yogurt moment. Now, I don't know if any of you like yogurt, but I do now. I did not always care for yogurt. Well, it happened here about a week ago. I was eating my lunch, and I was enjoying some yogurt. I won't get into all of the details, but I was eating it and enjoying it. And it occurred to me that it hadn't always been that way. A matter of fact, when I was a little boy, I'm going to guess somewhere between the ages of 5 and 8, I was staying overnight at a relative's house for the night or maybe for a couple of days, and they gave me some hot tea and yogurt. And to this day, I do not care for hot tea. If that offends anyone, I'm sorry. I do enjoy coffee, but that's another story. So I had hot tea and yogurt. I hadn't had yogurt before, and I got very sick on the hot tea and yogurt. And for many, many years, I would just not even touch it. until recently, I've come to acquire a taste for yogurt. I really enjoy it. So anyway, as I'm sitting there eating my lunch and enjoying this yogurt, it occurred to me, it has been 40 years since that traumatic experience involving yogurt. And it occurred to me, 40 years? Some of you think of 40 years and it's foolish to think about 40 years ahead. And others, you may think, well, 40 years is nothing as you look back. But the point I would like to share with you this morning is time is fleeting, and we must use every day we can to serve and to glorify God, because we do not know how many days or years we might have left. And as we look at the scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, first of all, we can see that the Christian life is considered a race. You may think of a rat race. You may think of an exciting race and a grueling race and a race to endure. But certainly there is a race that is set before us, this writer tells us. But that word race is interesting. That's where we get our word agony. When we think of the Christian race, hopefully we don't think of it being an agonizing experience, but that is the point that the Hebrew writer is showing to his audience then. This race that is set before us, or this agony that is in front of us. Now, as we mentioned that, you may understand that the Christian life can be somewhat traumatic or agonizing. We're to run this race. And in order to do it, it requires great endurance for us to win. Living for the Lord is an exciting thing. And I hope that you would agree with me on that. As we live for God, it's a wonderful experience. No matter how grueling it can be at times, and certainly there are ups and downs as we look back on our Christian life, there have been those experiences that were traumatic, but we thank God that He got us through so that we can be stronger for the days to come. What excites you? Do races excite you? Do we have any race fans? How about the political race going on? That's kind of exciting, though. Yeah, we get kind of tired of that. Isn't it great to be the first in the nation? Yeah, we're at least the first ones to get over it and can move on, can't we? Sports is exciting, whether it be football or wrestling. We were just out here Friday for the state wrestling tournament at Wells Fargo, and boy, that's exciting. There are many things to be excited about, but I want to tell you, living for the Lord is the greatest. And just think about what it will be like when the Lord returns. Will it be the case where our life has ended in death and we've gone on to our reward, and or will it be that the Lord will return while we're still alive, possibly before this day is over? How many times in the last week have we thought about the Lord's return? I might be ashamed if you knew how many times I thought about it. Not as many as I ought to. We think about the Lord's return and how exciting that will be. You can almost hear the trumpet now. And we think of the clouds, and we think of the Lord returning in the air, and we think of the dead in Christ that arise, and we meet them in the air, and how wonderful that would be. I'd like to encourage all of us here to live excitedly and expectantly for the Lord's return. Because each day, we need to use the blessings that God has given us in this life to run this race. We think of in Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the talents. And as we read that, we remember that there was a man, a businessman, who went off on a journey, and he left money with his servants, and the one who left five talents, and we remember another servant who left two talents, and another who left one, and the one who had five, we remember the story, don't we? He invested it, and he doubled it, and the one who had two, he did the same, he doubled it, and that one who only had one talent, he was afraid, and he hid it, he buried it, and he came back and he gave that one talent to his owner, to his master, and he was rebuked for that. So I'd like to encourage all of us to use the talents that God has given us for his glory and not squander what he has entrusted with us. As we think about this Christian race, in order to run with endurance, as it says, I believe we have three strategies to be successful. As you look in the passage here in verses 1 and 2, but specifically in verse 1, and these three things that will help us run the race. First of all, we notice that there is this cloud of witnesses that are surrounding us. So I believe we need to be encouraged. And I know that it's easy to be discouraged in living as a Christian, especially if we keep ourselves from our brothers and sisters. When we're off on our own and we're by ourselves in this world, it's easy to get discouraged. As we think about everything going on around us, and we think of all of the influences and the negative and the sinfulness, it's so easy to get discouraged. But the first thing we need to do is be encouraged, and that is that word therefore in chapter 12 and verse 1. We have this cloud of witnesses, those witnesses that were mentioned earlier. Remember Abel and Cain and Enoch and Abraham and Isaac, and we go down through that wonderful list, and we think about each thing that was mentioned about that individual, the things that they have done in faith, the conviction of things hoped for, and the certainty of things not seen, or the assurance of that. And remember that the faith that is needed is that faith in God, verse 6, that is required in order to be pleasing to God. And these people had that. And it's exciting as we think about this. You know, I memorized this passage years ago, and I memorized it wrong. And it wasn't until recently that I realized that. I would always think, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance. So it's all on us. But in the New American Standard, there's a little word that I left out. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance. Now, I was looking at that. I was thinking, what is the significance of that word also? And I believe it goes back, it's telling us to do what those people in chapter 11 have already done. They had to lay aside those things too. So here we are living the Christian life in this Christian race, and we're doing our best, and sin defeats us once in a while. We need to lay these things aside. We need to be encouraged like those early Christians were. We need to be encouraged to be strong. Now, we need to be encouraged by those faithful that are mentioned in chapter 11. We also need to be faithful. We need to be encouraged by those faithful that may be closer to us, our immediate church family. What a wonderful, wonderful group you have here. We can encourage each other. We can think about our own, possibly our own heritage, our own families. Perhaps you come from a long line of Christian, faithful Christian family. And if you do, praise God, and I hope you realize how blessed you are. Or it might be that you are a first-generation member of the Lord's church. And if you are, praise God for that, and you be that generation that others, you know, down the line look back to and they're thankful for you and for your decision. We need to be encouraged by other faithful people around us. We hear stories about brothers and sisters who have done great things, and I'd like to mention a quick story. Have you heard of a CBS reality television show called The Amazing Race? Now, I hadn't heard of it. We live out in the country, we don't get many channels, and we kind of like it that way, but I believe it was in the spring 2014 issue of the Christian Chronicle. I read about two brothers that were on this show, Amazing Race. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with Amazing Race, it's a reality show. I believe it where there are two individuals that have to team together and compete against other teams of two in running basically around the world in different locations. And there are a lot of fun things involved and challenges and obstacles and things. And where these teams are competing against other teams, so there's a lot of lying and deceiving and backbiting and things like that. But I was reading this article about these two brothers from Oklahoma. Jet and Corey McCoy are their names. And I believe it was from Tupelo, Oklahoma is where they're from. And these young men, they were invited to join this program because they were cowboys and they fit kind of an image that would be good on television. And these guys were really amazing. And I'd like to read a quote from the Christian Chronicle, and it says that the McCoys, competitors on the latest All-Star season of The Amazing Race, seem to have a hard time not liking the cowboys as they've raced from China to Sri Lanka to Italy. Clearly, these Lone Rangers are more group-oriented than they think, earning love from the other teams with little to no effort, wrote Justin Sedgwick, a reviewer. When they aren't trekking the globe, the brothers worship with the Fitztown Church of Christ, a 100-member congregation where their father and their brother-in-law serve as elders. The brothers take the Bible lessons they've learned as children and adults into the race, a grueling 30-day experience captured by camera operators who accompany each team. And there's a quote by one of the brothers that says, "But really, the stuff we're dealing with, that all these millions of people are watching every week, it's exactly the same stuff that we deal with on a day-to-day basis," Jet McCoy says. "How do you treat other people? How do you deal with stressful situations? How do you play the game? Just because you're not on The Amazing Race, you're not on TV, you're still being the same kind of example as a Christian wherever you're at." And he finishes it with, "I think sometimes it's as easy for us to lose sight of that." So we need to be encouraged by those people of faith around us, be encouraged by those mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 11. So the Christian life certainly is a race. First of all, we need to be encouraged by those around us. Secondly, you'll notice in verse 1, they were told, and I believe we are too, in order to run this race, we are to lay aside every encumbrance. Now, from what I've noticed on that phrase, every encumbrance, this is something that may not necessarily be sinful or wrong, but it's just something that would slow them or you or I down from living for the Lord. And I know we have busy schedules, there are so many things to be involved with, there's so many things out there that wants to occupy our time. I mean, what we are being told here is, if it's going to slow us down, and we're not going to be able to live our lives for the Lord as Christians, we need to lay it aside. Now, I think each of us having different situations in life, we have to make our own determination on what that might be. Anything that conflicts with us serving the Lord needs to go. And also, you notice this third strategy in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, it says, also lay aside that sin which so easily entangles us. That thought has captured my attention since I first came across it. Not so much what did it mean for them, but what does that mean for Jason? The sin which so easily entangles us. And I think the challenge that each of us have this morning is, if we know what that sin is, repent. Lay it aside. Because there's a race. And it's an exciting race. And you know as well as I do that it is very difficult to do something good when there is something negative and bad in our life that's slowing us down. Lay aside every encumbrance, but also lay aside that sin which entangles us. It could be any number of things. And this is where I believe God is speaking to the heart of each one of us individually right now. Lay it aside. If there's something we need to repent of, do it before it's too late. And in saying that, we need to remember the seriousness of sin. Though our society belittles sin, makes it anemic or even something that is not serious at all, but we know when we go to God's book, sin is serious. Sin is, as Isaiah said in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, sin is that which separates us. Now, of course, we're all in the same boat together, aren't we? Raise your hand if you haven't sinned. Yeah. Of course, we all have. And we do. It's all a laughing matter, but we need to remember how serious it is. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we need to repent of it. Just because we have and others do doesn't mean it's license for us to sin. Not you nor I. We need to lay aside that sin which so easily entangles us. Let's look at the next point in our lesson. First of all, we notice that we are involved in a Christian race. Secondly, we remember that Jesus is our role model in verse 2. The writer said, "Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of the faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross." And what an amazing picture that is. And Ryan, I appreciate your words up here at the table. Wow. That is just wonderful for us to think about what God has done for us through Christ. When we think about the role model of Jesus, now we're encouraged by so many in this life of faith. We're encouraged by everyone in Hebrews 11, no matter who your favorite might be, whether it's Sarah or Rahab or Abraham, or think about that mention in the walls of Jericho, or you think of Joshua. Just so excited as we think about all of those great people and what they went through. And then we talk about Samson and Barak and Jephthah and those experiences. And you think of Romans 15 and verse 4, the things written when? In earlier times were written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope, right? I think that's exactly what the Hebrews writer was telling us when he mentioned chapter 11. Those people, we have hope. We can live this life. We can run this race. We can finish it and be strong. But ultimately, the greatest example we have is Jesus Christ. He's our role model. He is our focus. We're to fix our eyes upon him. Set our gaze on Jesus. And know again, I know it's easy to lose sight of that in this world. Remember the situation in Mark chapter 14? Matthew chapter 14. Remember when his disciples were in the boat, and Jesus came, and Jesus was walking on the water, and we remember that great story. And Peter, he wanted to do the same, and he had the guts and the courage to do it. And I hope that we all have the guts and the courage to live for the Lord and to walk with him wherever we find ourselves in life, whether it's at school or at work or in the community, or more importantly, when we're alone. Can we walk with the Lord when we're alone? Here's Peter we read about. He stepped out of the boat. He had the courage to do it. And no matter how many times we read the story, we read it again, and we know what's going to happen next, and it's starting to sink. Where did he sink? But he took his eyes off the Lord. And can't you envision maybe a slow-motion sink? That's what I see. I've never seen one otherwise. You know, you go straight down. But hopefully it was a slow-motion sink. Oh, me, I'm done. And the Lord helped him. But the lesson there, obviously, for us is when we take our eyes off Jesus, we are overcome by our circumstances. And there are a lot of circumstances that can get us down. I'd like to share with you a formula for spiritual success that I had found. And then we're going to look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. So if you'd like to get that ready, Colossians 3, 1 and 2. It says, if you want to be distressed, look within. If you want to be defeated, look back. If you want to be distracted, look around. If you want to be dismayed, look ahead. But if you want to be delivered, look up. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 4. Paul said, therefore, now that he says if, but I think it should be since, because he's talking to Christians. If and since need to be determined by the context. Listen to what Paul said. Therefore, since you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things that are on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then we also will be revealed with Him in glory. We need to keep thinking on things above. Don't get distracted with the things here and now. Amen? Amen to that. But Jesus, He's our perfect role model in Hebrews chapter 12. And we think about reasons for this is we're to fix our eyes on Him because it says that He is the author of the faith. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 is all about faith, what it is, the importance of it, examples of faith. Jesus authored it. What does an author do? Writes. Jesus wrote the story. He wrote the book on faith. We may not think of it that way. But that's what He did. He's the expert on it. He wrote it. Did Jesus have faith? Think of the trying times in His life. Think of the struggles that He went through. Things just like we go through. If we've been through it, He can relate to it. Jesus experienced faith. Jesus is faith. He's the author of it, but it also says He's the perfecter of it. Isn't that exciting to think about? He got it right. He did it. He shows us how to believe, how to have that faith in the Father. So He is the author and He's the perfecter of the faith. He despised the shame of the cross. He endured the cross. What a scene that was. So that we can take up our cross to follow the Lord each day. We can make that determination each day to live for God. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of God. He's victorious. He is the one we need to consider. Think about these great points we have from this lesson in Hebrews 12. We're a race, and Jesus is our role model. I'd like for you to be encouraged by that. But I'd also like to encourage all of us here, as we think about where we're at in our spiritual journey, it may be that you're ready to start that Christian race, that life. And you've thought about what the Lord requires of you, and you're willing to put your trust and faith in Him. You're willing to repent of your sins. You're willing to make that good confession and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If you would do that, then you're officially in the race. And there's no looking back. And what's wonderful also is that for each person in the race, there's a bunch of us here with you. We can encourage each other. It might be that you're in the race. You've been in it for a while. Either a short time or a longer period of time. And you're discouraged. You can imagine how a marathon is. I can't. Oh boy. What endurance that would take. As we're in that race and we get discouraged and we get tired. It's hard for us to keep on. It's getting more difficult maybe for us to resist sin. If that's the case and we're struggling with anything, and you need strength, endurance, you need prayers for sin, we'd like to help you with that too. Whatever it might be, if you have any need at all, we'd like to help you. Let's stand up and sing together now.